We're watching a new movie, a newish movie today about one of America's great heroes, Mr. Rogers. Has anybody ever, did you grow up watching Mr. Rogers? A couple of you, first service, where maybe this is the younger service. You watched less Mr. Rogers, but I didn't. It was a little before my time, but Mr. Rogers is one of those characters that is just like a universal hero of America, right? It's not controversial. Everybody likes Mr. Rogers because he's just a kind guy. Well, today we see in this movie about how Mr. Rogers helps a guy who has an estranged relationship with his father. And as we watch the story of this guy and his father, I want you to reflect on the fact that one of the metaphors that God uses to describe his relationship with us is our heavenly Father. He is our perfect heavenly Father. If you are his child, if you've been adopted into his family, then he will never leave you or forsake you. So as we watch the story of the relationship between this father, this earthly father and son, would you think about your relationship with your heavenly Father? All right, let's dive in. Pop your popcorn, or don't pop the popcorn, that's already done. Eat your popcorn, pop open your pop, and enjoy the movie.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my neighbor? Hello, neighbor. So good to see you again today. Did you see what special thing I brought in to show you? It's called a picture board because behind each one of these little doors is a picture of people. Lady Aberlin. Let's see who's behind this door. There's King Friday the 13th. This crown and mustache and beard. Who's behind here? Well, it's Mr. McFeely. He always says speedy delivery, doesn't he? I'd like you to meet a new friend of mine. His name is Lloyd Vogel. Someone has hurt my friend Lloyd, and not just on his face. He is having a hard time forgiving the person who hurt him. Do you know what that means? To forgive? It's a decision we make to release a person from the feelings of anger we have at them. It's strange, but sometimes it's hardest of all to forgive someone we love. Let's say hello to my new friend, Lloyd. Shall we?
Hi, I'm Andrea, Lloyd's wife.
Andrea, of course. What a unique pleasure. Hello, little fella.
Mrs. Gavin.
What a handsome man. You look just like me. Yeah, let's get a drink, huh? What's this stuff, a pop? Oh, this stuff will kill you.
I'm just giving my toast and then we're leaving, so.
Doll, could you give us a moment?
She's not a doll. She's a public interest attorney.
Well, is there money in that?
You know what? We're gonna circulate.
You got a baby. And a wife. You happy?
I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, she seems nice enough, huh? But, I mean, aren't you a little old to have a baby, huh?
I'm not that old.
Yeah, you're smart. Your mom and I hardly knew each other when she got pregnant, but we were babies, huh?
Don't talk about her.
Oh, whoa, wait a minute. You don't know the whole story. Your mom really was not the same.
Don't talk about my mom!
What are you doing?
Get off me!
Come on.
Come on.
You didn't hear him.
You were out of control.
He was out of control.
You're just not going to take responsibility for any of this.
Of course I am. I offered to pay for Lorraine's dry cleaning.
Have you ever felt the way Lloyd does? So angry you want to hurt someone or yourself? I know I have. When I was a boy, I was very chubby. And the other kids would chase me and call me names like Fat Freddy. It made me very sad. Sometimes when I was by myself, I would cry. And other times, it made me very angry. There was always something you can do with the mad that you feel.
There's a lot of injustice in the world, and depending on what you think is just, then you can find injustice just about anywhere. And some people are more bothered by injustice than other people. When some of us see something that is out of order, something that isn't managed well, or something that we think is just plain wrong, we just can't help but say something about it or do something about it. Some of us are tempted to fight every battle we think of to fight. But as we mature, we learn to choose our battles. We've learned that if we try to fight them all, we will lose them all. And when that happens, we decide to live a little bit more graciously, to forgive and forget a little quicker. But if people who are justice-minded people don't mature, they usually become very angry people. They become judgmental and spiteful. And that's bad when you're judgmental and spiteful about injustice that you see in the world, but it's worse when you're angry about things that are happening to you or to someone that you love. It's one thing to forgive someone who has done something wrong. It's an entirely different thing to forgive someone who has specifically wronged you or has wronged your spouse or your kids. That's really when anger sets in. That's when anger can actually take over. And spiritually, anger can kill you. Anger is like taking poison, hoping that the person that you're angry at will die. Our anger doesn't hurt the person that we're mad at. It hurts us. If someone hurt you, don't let them continue to hurt you by dwelling on it. The prophet Isaiah said, "He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all those who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair." But we've got to let go of the ashes so that God can exchange them for beauty. He will fight on your behalf, but you have to let him.
Yeah.
Paid no attention to my face. Softball injury, nothing to worry about. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Well, this should be interesting.
What should?
Sending you on an assignment with your face all busted up.
An assignment?
Yep. You're the perfect person for it. You just had a baby.
Why are you giving me an assignment?
We're doing an issue on heroes, and we're profiling a number of inspirational people. We just need a small piece of copy to accompany a pretty photo.
You hired me as an investigative journalist. I don't do puff pieces.
Wait a second. Didn't I hire you to do whatever I tell you to do? And right now, that's doing a profile on one of our nation's heroes.
Who?
Mr. Rogers.
As in the hokey kids show
guy? As in the beloved children's television host, yes. Look, I think this could help you, Lloyd. Just start to change your image.
I don't need to change my image.
Okay.
Alan?
He was the only person on our list willing to be interviewed by you, Lloyd. I guess you're developing a reputation.
A reputation? People love talking to me.
Yeah, they do, until they read what you write about them.
So what? I'm supposed to go easy on this guy because he plays with puppets for a living?
400 words. Play nice.
How long have you been married, Lloyd?
8 years.
Oh, 8 years. Oh, that's a wonderful accomplishment. Does your spouse have a name?
Andrea.
I would like to meet Andrea someday.
I'm sure. You've lived in Pittsburgh your whole life?
I grew up not too far from here in a town called Latrobe, but we've lived here quite some time and we've raised our boys here.
And do you think living here makes it easier or more difficult to be a celebrity?
Celebrity? Mercy.
You don't consider yourself famous?
Fame is a four-letter word, like tape or Zoom or face. What ultimately matters is what we do with it.
And what are you doing with it?
We are trying to give children positive ways to deal with their feelings.
This piece will be for an issue about heroes. Do you consider yourself a hero?
I don't think of myself as a hero. No, not at all.
What about Mr. Rogers? Is he a hero?
I don't understand the question.
Well, there's you, Fred, and then there's the character you play, Mr. Rogers.
You said it was a play at the plate? Is that what happened to you? What did happen to you, Lloyd?
I got into a fight.
Oh my. Who did you get into a fight with?
It's not important. Jerry.
And who is Jerry?
My father.
Oh, my.
I'd rather not talk about it.
But what were you and your father fighting about?
I'm here to interview you, Mr. Rogers.
Well, that is what we're doing, isn't it?
We're ready for you in Studio B, Fred.
Okay, Margie.
I thought we had 20
Lloyd,
minutes.
Can I take your picture? I'd like to take pictures of people that I meet. And then I can show them to Joanne later on. Thank you so much. I do hope you'll stick around. I really do.
That's it?
and trolley. Action.
Hello, Lady Aberlin.
Oh, hi, Daniel.
Are you making that funny smell?
Do you mean that skunk kind of smell? No, I'm trying to help that smell go away.
By squirting another smell?
That's right, a sweet-smelling smell. Want a smell?
Okay. That does smell good.
Where did that bad smell come from?
Oh, Mr. Skunk. He got scared, and he just sprayed this smell all over me.
Oh, no. Did he say he was sorry?
No. And that just makes me so very mad, and I don't know what to do.
Oh, Daniel.
What do? With the mad that you feel, when you feel so mad you could bite.
When the whole wide world seems oh so wrong, and nothing you do seems very right.
What do? Do you punch a bag? Do you pound some clay or some dough? Do you round up friends for a game of tag?
I can stop when I want to, can stop when I wish, can stop anytime. And what a good feeling to feel like this, and know that the feeling is really mine. Know that there's something deep inside that helps us become what we can. For a girl can be someday a woman. Lady Aberlin.
Thank you, Daniel.
I feel better.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I just don't know if he's for real.
That's not for you to say, Lloyd.
I think with a few more interviews...
No. I told you, this isn't an expose. Okay, just please put pen to paper, a couple of funny anecdotes. Keep it simple.
I can't do that, Ellen. He's a lot more complex than I thought.
He's a children's entertainer. He's Mr. Freakin' Rogers. This isn't Mikhail Gorbachev we're talking about.
I don't think you understand what you're asking of me.
I'm asking you to do your job. Now get out of here and come back to me when you have your first draft.
Now, this gives new meaning to Boys in the Hood.
I see things going on out there. It kind of worries me. I wish more people would watch Mr. Rogers.
He's just about the nicest person I've ever met.
You say it doesn't sound like a compliment.
There's an attitude out there. There's some things going on. There's a lot of hopelessness. What do we need to do?
There's no simple answers, of course, but if we could, through television programs as well as every other imaginable program, let people know that each one of us is precious.
It sounds cliche to say, but for every setback in life, God has planned a comeback. He wants to use it for good. But so often we hold on to our bitterness from the setbacks. A few months ago, I preached a message about how God can use your past to prepare you for your future. That weekend, we went to a wedding, and I saw a few people who had left our church to go to another church in town, and I should have been happy that they found another church, that they were still church-going people. But I'll be honest with you and say that that is not usually how it works with me. Personally, when I deal with bitterness and resentment, it's usually because someone that I love left the church. And this is a confession, but I can stay angry about people leaving the church for years. That Sunday night, I had a dream about those people who had left our church. That was about 2 a.m. And the dream woke me up and kept me up. I started thinking about why they left the church and some things that had been said. Then I started worrying about someone else who was mad at me for something that I said in a sermon. Then I emailed someone in the church who I knew was struggling, going through a hard time. Then I spent some time worrying about the all-in project. Then I worried about how we were going to make our budget this year and on and on and on. And I did not sleep that night. And the next day, I was worthless. All because I let bitterness get the best of me. When will I give up the ashes and exchange them for the beauty that God has for me?
You're so quiet. Oh. Yeah.
Good. Hey, hey! Come on, sit down. We cooked you some takeout.
They brought pizza.
Lloyd, this is Dorothy.
Hello.
Can't you just say hello? Where's your manners?
I'm sorry. I think we should go.
I had an idea, okay? Maybe we'd eat some food, we'd talk like people. I messed things up at the wedding. Of course, you didn't help, but I get it. And you let me sit out there in my car on the street for two nights, like I'm homeless, like I'm some kind of a bum.
Jerry.
Well, you won't say a word.
You came here to introduce me to her?
Dorothy.
Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Lloyd.
Okay, you did what you came here to do. Now I want you to leave.
Lloyd.
I may never come back here. So, please listen to me. Dorothy and I have been together and in love for 15 years.
He left as soon as Mom got sick. Did you know that? Couldn't even wait for her to die.
She really didn't want me there.
Because you were sleeping around while she was dying.
I know. I know it. Took me years to get myself together. Dorothy's why I'm standing here.
You know what they tell you about people when they're dying? They tell you it's peaceful, that they just slip away. Mom screamed as she went. Did you know that? She screamed until she passed out. And then they came in and revived her, and she went right back to it. It was just me, Lorraine, and the nurses. Sign the paperwork, pack up the house, put her in the ground.
Jerry.
Come on, Lloyd.
Jerry.
A lot of people want to forgive, but they don't know how to forgive. So let's talk about how to forgive. Number one, stop talking about it. The Apostle Paul said, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I look forward, I press on, my reward is heaven. If we spend all our time thinking about pain in our past, we may miss what God has for us in the future. Paul was falsely accused. He was put in prison, shipwrecked, starving. But he had learned how to move on, to press on. If you keep calling your friends and, can you believe what he did to me? I'm so angry. And he did this, gossip that. Your friends are like, dude, that happened 21 years ago. Move on. We're tired of hearing about it. So many of us, this is how we live our lives. Have a funeral for your anger and move on. But if you go back and you dig up that carcass after you've had a funeral for it, that carcass is going to stink. And that stench won't just make your life miserable, it will make the people around you miserable. And eventually it will scare them all away. Hate and anger will make your life miserable, and it will make the people around you miserable. And when you scare people away, especially when it's people you care about, then you're scaring away friends and opportunities. No one likes to be around bitter people. Second, pray for the people who hurt you. And that's hard, but Jesus commands it. He says, you have heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. I don't like to do that. I do not like to pray that people I'm mad at will be blessed because I don't want them to be blessed. But when I pray that they will be blessed, I'm actually allowing God to change my heart. And then in turn, I'm allowing him to bless me. And that's the antidote to the poison of anger. And when you pray for them, pray that God's will be done in their life. Not that your will be done in their life. Or not that God will punish them. Now, it's okay to pray that God will convict them of their sin, but do it while hoping that they will be convicted for their own good, not so that you can have some kind of emotional revenge. And I'm not saying that you have to change the way you feel. That takes time. This isn't about emotion. God's not asking us to feel differently about people. He's asking us to act differently toward people. Western culture has taught us that forgiveness is all about your emotions. But forgiveness is not really about emotions at all. It's about an action. And here's the really hard one. He says, serve the people who hurt you. Change the way you talk about the person. Speak well of them and not evil of them. Compliment them even. Paul said, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their head. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Conquer evil by doing good. Let God fight on your behalf. My guess is that when you start serving the person that hurt you, then you'll see a different side of that person. You'll see the pain that caused that person to hurt you. And you'll realize that she's hurting even more than you are. And she hurt you because she's hurting, or he. What anger do you need to let go of? Instead of letting that anger make you bitter, focus on the blessings that God has given you. Focus on the future and recognize that God has good things planned for your life. Don't let your anger take that away from you. Don't let your anger keep you from the blessing that God has for you. And if you'll let him, then he will use even your pain for good.
Bill was right. You love people like me.
What are people like you? I've never met anyone like you in my entire life.
Broken people.
I don't think you were broken. I know you are a man of conviction. A person who knows the difference between what is wrong and what is right. Try to remember that your relationship with your father also helped to shape those parts He helped you become what you are. Would you do something with me, Lloyd? It's an exercise I like to do sometimes. We'll just take a minute and think about all the people who loved us into being.
I can't do that.
They will come to you. Just 1 minute of silence. Thank you for doing that with me. I feel so much better.
Still eats like a teenager. Cold cuts, sugar cereal, stubborn goat. At least you come by it honestly.
Did you know about me and my sister?
Not until very recently.
What about my mom?
When he got sick last year, after the first episode, he started to talk and tell me things that I wish he'd told me a long time ago.
Will you look at me? I am so sorry, son. Not fair, you know? I think I'm just now starting to figure out how to live my life. I always loved you.
I love you too, Dad.
It's like 10,000 words.
Yeah.
It's not really about Mr. Rogers.
I know.
I mean, it is, but it's so you. You never talk about this stuff.
No.
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, I love it.
You do?
Yes, it's going to be the cover.
Experienced pain and hurt. They've been hurt. There's other people in this room have done the hurting. And there are things for which we need to be forgiven for. When we think about the things that we've done and the people we've wronged and the people we've been wronged by, all of us have this desire to have relationships that are free from that. And in moments like this, we start thinking about, is now the right time to have that conversation and ask for forgiveness, or have that conversation and tell somebody that they hurt you? And then we usually fight that emotion. We say, no, now's not the time, or I'll do it later, or I'll put it off, or it's just too hard. And it's one thing to resist those realizations with people that we love, or people we've been in relationship with, but it's a totally different thing to resist that conversation with your Heavenly Father. Because every single one of us have sinned. Every single one of us have gone against what He told us to do, have gone against His law, have broken His law, and we deserve, because of that, to be separated from Him forever. Our sin, us wronging Him, doing wrong to Him, deserves hell. But our Heavenly Father, the one who created us, while recognizing our sin, decided that He was going to do something about it. Scripture tells us that while we were still sinning, Christ died for us. And He came to earth and He made a way that you could be forgiven for your sin, that that relationship could be renewed, because He's perfect. And the only one who can forgive someone like you and like me and make a way for this relationship to be mended as a perfect Father. And He made a way. Jesus, in one of His most famous sermons, says, you have heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemies. Now, that's a law. In fact, it's a law that God Himself wrote. You can read it in Leviticus. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus says, I have a better way. Now, breaking the law, that's sin, but I want more than just not sin. I want something good for you. I want the better life for you. And he says, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. This is the best way. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, because that's who he is. That's who we should be. Follow his example. For he gives sunlight to both the evil, that's us, and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. He's a perfect father. He's a perfect forgiving father. And go to him today and ask him for forgiveness.